Welcome, everyone, to the fierce compassion of the divine feminine, entering the era of the Empress, where women across the globe are discovering how to embody the Empress by living a life of compassion, character, courage, and grace. I'm your host, Kathy Forrest, founder of Celestial Forrest Institute, and I am so excited to be here with my dear friend, Rima Benario. Welcome, Rima.
Thank you, Kathy. It's always so much fun to be on the journey with you. Wherever you're going, I am on board.
I'm so glad. So as many of you know, because you've heard Dr. Rima before, she is a dream weaver, a soul coach, a wild heart healer with 30 years on the path of conscious evolution. She's a respected thought leader, speaker, and teacher for women seeking to stand in their personal power while remaining open-hearted and connected. Rima specializes in the arena of personal sovereignty and the challenge many women face in maintaining a healthy balance between caring for others and caring for themselves. Rima's best-selling book, The Seven Queendoms, A Soul Map for Embodying Sacred Feminine Sovereignty, explains how women can use the energy, majesty, and noble nature of the queen archetype to consciously create a life they love. Her coaching, workshops, online courses, sacred travel journeys, use the transcendent power of myth and archetype, ritual and ceremony, and shadow soul work to help her students cut through energetic clutter, dissolve emotional baggage, and form wildly fulfilling habits of attention. Rima is the founder of Bloom Fine Egyptian Oils and the Sisterhood of the Anointing Priestesses, where she teaches the lost temple art of anointing to reclaim feminine power. She's also the co-founder of the Art of Quantum Living, LLC, which trains and certifies people in the 21-day shadow work practice called the Quantum Living Process. Rima holds a doctorate in transformational psychology and has studied with master teachers in body-based energy work, trauma first aid, and other body-based trauma-informed practices, the tantric art of sacred sexuality, and the temple art of anointing. She is passionate about helping women experience personal wholeness, relationship harmony, and material abundance in their lives. Rima, I am so excited to hear you talk about becoming a dragon rider. Embrace your sovereign power. Oh my goodness. This sounds so fun.
Yes, it is.
So tell us a little bit, what is this business about becoming a dragon rider? How is that connected to power?
Yeah, so I like to think of our relationship to power as similar to our relationship to a dragon. And there are ways that we can be in relationship to our energy that are healthy and ways we can be in relationship to it that are unhealthy. And the dragon is a really great metaphor for this energy because sometimes we're afraid of our own power. Sometimes we feel like the power is our master and we have to serve it, you know, like we're really subservient to it. Sometimes we feel like we have to fight it, you know, we have to try to control it. And really what the Empress and the Queen archetype does is we partner with our power. We partner with the dragon and we get to ride the dragon and have a relationship that is a powerful and compassionate and really masterful relationship. That's what we're after.
Sweet. So what are some of those things that get in the way of us embracing our power?
Well, I have discovered that there are basically four different adaptions, three main ones, and then one sort of offshoot that women often find themselves in that keep them out of their own power. And I'd like to share a few slides, if that's
sure,
okay with you.
Absolutely.
Talk about these. And let's start just by first looking at the idea of what is an archetype. For those that are new to this term, an archetype is a collectively inherited unconscious idea or pattern of thought, could also be an image that's universally present in individual psyches. So that's a lot of words to just say that earlier in the 19th century and the 20th century, as people were exploring different parts of the world and coming across tribes of indigenous people that had their own isolated culture, they weren't connected in any way to the rest of the world, they still had these similar understandings of things like the strong father, or the sovereign, or the jester or joker, or the hero. These kinds of archetypal energies that are part of the human experience. And so they hold keys for us in understanding ourselves and our psyche, because they give us an example of something to tap into. For example, you're working with the Empress archetype, and as soon as you hear that word, it conjures up inside of us a sense of what an Empress is. We kind of, almost our body will even change shape when we think about, oh, I'm going to learn about the Empress. Mm-hmm. And that's what an archetypal energy is. And so what I found is that there are really three main and one subtype of these energies that we inhabit that keep us out of our power. The first is the princess archetype. And this energy is an energy that's focused on the future. We're really in the waiting. We're waiting for things to happen. We're longing. Maybe we got the message. It's not your time. The princess has no power unto herself. It seems to her that everybody else holds all the power. So her attention is really on her own dilemma. She's in an energy often of self-pity and waiting to be rescued. We see this over and over again in movies. And she often feels powerless, small, defeated, forgotten, alone, or like a pawn that somebody just wants to marry her off to the neighboring kingdom for political reasons. You know, her life isn't valuable in and of itself. So her relationship to power is that she has little to none. And when we think about it like the dragon, she really ignores her dragon. She's not in relationship to it all. So it flies around willy-nilly doing whatever it wants. And she just says, you know, it's not me. It wasn't me. I'm not a, you know, she throws up her hands. She doesn't know how to be in relationship with it. When it comes to our money, if we're inhabiting this archetypal energy, we might have trouble making it and or keeping it. And in relationship, we often feel like an afterthought to the person we're in relationship, that we don't matter. So I'll just say, as you're hearing these, just be gentle with yourself. If feelings are coming up and you're thinking, ooh, yeah, I do that and I don't like it. Or you're thinking, no, I would never, ever do that. And you're having that sort of repulsive feeling, you know, just be gentle with yourself, knowing that there are reasons why we end up in these adaptive patterns, and they can be challenging, but we have to see them to move them. The next one is the energy of the good girl. This is my family. The previous picture was me too. Everybody in this family, I'm just going to tell you right now, other than my dad, is in the good girl energy, because we were all just trying to make it okay so that my dad didn't freak out and, you know, do what he did to the family. So in the good girl energy, we're very often focused on earning love. We can be stuck in the past because we're reacting to old pain that's happened and trying to keep it from happening again. Very often the good girl, when we're in this energy, we see our value in what others think of us and how we can please others. So our attention is on other people to the exclusion of ourselves. We very often don't even know what we want or need if we're inhabiting the good girl energy, because we're so focused on everybody else's wants and needs. And so often we'll feel not good enough, unworthy, not important, invisible, rejected. When it comes to our power, we only feel powerful in terms of how we fawn over others. So our relationship to our dragon and the good girl is we serve the dragon. We're shoveling the shit, you know, we're trying to feed it. We're washing the scales, you know, we're almost like Cinderella, you know, for Cinderella, the princess was a step up, you know. And in this energy, we often under-earn. Sometimes we find ourselves in helping professions and we're so busy helping others, we don't know how to receive in to take care of ourselves. And in relationship, we often feel like the servant. The third big adaption we have in block for our power is we try to inhabit the superwoman. And this one, I mean, I did this for decades, for so long, because it felt at least a little bit more powerful than the other two. Mm-hmm. In this energy, we're focused on doing, having, creating, working, but our value feels tied to our productivity. And so our attention's out there on everything all at once, but we have forgotten about our own limits. We dismiss our limits, and that often pushes us into overwhelm. So we can feel like a fake or exhausted, resentful, burned out, and secretly afraid that we're not going to really be able to take care of ourselves and manage everything. So in this case, we feel our power through exerting personal will or control. This is the part of us that tries to control the dragon or fight the dragon. And we end up singed and burned because we're in this, you know, battle. And sometimes this energy type makes really good money, but there's often a big expense, a personal expense. And in relationship, very often we feel like we're the one who has to do everything. And then the archetype that's sort of an offshoot, I don't think it happens quite as often, and it certainly was so scary, I didn't try this one at all. It's the rebel archetype. You know, secretly, I kind of like this gal, but she's in a lot of pain too. Right. She is focused on chaos and disruption, self-gratification, but in this really negative way. She sees her value in shaking up the status quo. Her attention is still outside of herself because she's tracking to see how others respond to her desire to self-express. So she very often feels angry, offended. She is also offending at times, mm-hmm. superior, and she feels powerful when others fear her. And so her form of power is to try to disempower others. And what she does with the dragon is she sort of grabs it by the ears and takes its fire and is like, burn that over there and burn that over there. And it's a very disrespectful relationship to the dragon. Mm-hmm. When it comes to money, she really just thinks about it as a weapon. She thinks about almost everything as a weapon. She weaponizes her sexuality. She weaponizes her love. Because in relationships, she is the bully or abuser energy. And that happens because she is afraid of actually being the one to be abused. And so when it comes to what we want to do about it, it's actually the queen that helps us get out of these archetypal energies and into something better. So if it's all right with you, Kathy, I'll just roll on and talk
about
this.
Go for it.
Okay, well, the queen is focused on being in alignment with her authentic self. So the first thing that we notice here is in rather having that focus outward, she starts by understanding herself first. And as such, she's able to see she has inherent value just being who she is. She's not in it in a transactional way where I have to give to you in order to get something. So her attention is on caring for herself so that she can contribute meaningfully in the world. She understands she needs to be well resourced so that she can do her job of taking care of her queendom. So she usually feels empowered, connected, alive, satisfied, and inspired. Now, when it comes to her power, she partners with flow. So she works with the dragon. They are equals. They ride together. When it comes to money, she's willing to put in the work to earn the money, and she also trusts the process. So she stays out of fear, and she uses her intuition to guide her. And in relationship, she's rooted in her own self-love and self-acceptance. And so that allows her to use her skills to create harmony in relationship. And when it comes to understanding this, the dragon even more deeply, and to be able to ride the dragon, we have to recognize that, first of all, this is kind of a game that we're all playing. Mm-hmm. The difference is that the good girl, the princess, the superwoman, and the rebel are all living as the game, right? They're, it's sort of like being in Monopoly. When they land on the places on the Monopoly board, they think they're real. They're so tied up in them. Whereas the queen understands that she's in a game. And so she gets to have a slightly different relationship with her power and with reality. So she gets to partner with the dragon. And I really love the story of Avatar. If you remember, when they rode their beautiful partners here, they would hook their body into the nervous system of their partner so that they could fly together. Mm-hmm. And it's actually the body that helps us do this, that helps us to be in a more potent connection to our power. So I'll just stop there.
So Rima, I'm loving this, and I want to ask you, for our listeners, on behalf of our listeners, what would you say to someone that says, oh, I recognize myself in those patterns, and how do I move from the destructive patterns or the not so healthy patterns into the queen pattern or the empress pattern? How do I get myself from one to the other?
The first thing is we have to begin to notice, right? So you want to try to catch yourself in the moment or after the moment. Sometimes it might take you even a few days to realize, oh, I gave away my power back then. I was a princess, or I was a good girl, or I was a superwoman, or I tried to be a rebel, or whatever happened. And to really give yourself compassion, to recognize that there are reasons why you learned those adaptions, mm-hmm. and to take some time to offer yourself some love and become a safe place for you. And one of the things that I love to teach people about is how to become a source of our own safety. Mm-hmm. And the free gift that I'm offering to all of the attendees for this conference this time has an entire 1 hour program on how to become the source of your own safety and how to understand these adaptions we took on in childhood, why we took them on, and what we can begin to do about them. And it starts with just having the ability to acknowledge when we've fallen into one of those habits. Awareness is half the battle. And then it's about making some different choices. Usually it starts by moving inward into our body and feeling things within our body, because that's the place that allows us to transmute those old feelings and come into a new experience.
So what is the number one thing that a woman can do to start this shift?
The first thing she can do is begin to slow down. You know, when we're moving quickly, focused everywhere else, that's what keeps us distracted from ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the reason we very often don't slow down is we don't want to feel what's in there. And if we slow down, we know that it's right under the surface, right? It's right there, and we'll feel the exhaustion, we'll feel the frustration, we'll feel the grief and the sorrow. It's almost like the tears are right here. And if we feel like we can just keep running fast enough, they won't catch us. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want to tell you, ladies, that the power for you to inhabit your queen comes through the doorway of deep feeling, not avoiding those difficult feelings and those uncomfortable feelings, but actually pausing long enough to let them surface, because these are the whispers of your soul and the cries of your body asking you to make a change. And you won't really know what changes are needed if you don't pause and let yourself feel what's under that. So cry if you need to cry. take, you know, go find a, go out to the car if you need to, or the backyard, or when everybody's out of the house, let yourself scream and vocalize your anger and your frustration, move your body, beat a pillow, put on some wild music and dance, and let yourself actually feel the and express all of the things you've been keeping at bay. And you will come out the other side of that in a radical new space of clarity.
Do you ever have people say to you, I don't have time to slow down?
Yeah, so here's what's going to happen. Eventually, your body will do it for you, or the universe will do it for you, and something unfortunate will come along and knock you on your butt. And it's not to say that if those things happen, that somehow we've been doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, we all get sick from time to time. I recently had an episode that got very, very sick with whatever is the respiratory flu that's going around right now. I hadn't been sick in, you know, 2.5 years. And, mm-hmm. and that, it was so interesting because it came on the back of a really heavy push to get a program out. Mm-hmm. And I literally had to stop. I had to move my entire week of work into later in the month. And let me tell you what happened. I had this exact experience of feeling a powerful connection to the grief of the planet, to the pain body of the planet. It was the most extraordinary thing. I could feel literally how we are all interconnected and we have just one immune system. Mm-hmm. And I could feel how in this part of the world, we're over here saying, you know, my shoulder's kind of sore. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit, you know, bothersome. Like we're griping about our gas prices, right?
Right.
The other side of the world is like the leg that's got gangrene. And we're saying, you know what? Screw you, leg. Take care of yourself. Like that makes zero sense. There's really right. only one of us here in these borders that we think we have that separate us. They don't make any difference at all when you are dealing with the kinds of issues we're facing as a global family. And so that's a lot to feel on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I was busy running my life and my business and helping my clients. And I didn't have, you know, any time, so to speak, to focus on that. Mm-hmm. And when I slowed down, I had the opportunity to really be with it. And I cried for a couple of days and I just was really in the sorrow of the suffering. But what came out of the back of that was a recognition that I am in a position to do even more. And so I've made a commitment that with all my new programs going forward from now on, every time a woman joins one of my programs, I'm going to make a microloan to a woman in a developing country. And those that join my larger programs, I'm going to sponsor a woman to go through her own 12-month program so that literally while we are healing, we are healing the world. And this is what the Empress and the Queen does. And we get yeah. this inspiration when we have the willingness to stand with the pain. And, you know, I'm in a point in my life where I've done so much of my own personal healing work. It really makes sense that when I came out of this last round of this, my focus was on how I can be of greater service in the world. You, if you're new to this work or wherever you are, and I certainly have these moments too, still, you might go into one of these moments and when you come out, it's not about what to do for others. It's really about what you need to adjust for yourself. And, yeah. and these kinds of awarenesses are priceless and they come because we're willing to pause and go deep into the things we have been ignoring within ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, Rima, that is just so powerful. So I would imagine that trying to do this solo can be challenging, and having a good coach or somebody on the outside to encourage you to keep being still when you don't want to would be beneficial. So if women want to work with you to go deeper, what should they do?
There's a couple of things you can do. I mean, you can start very simply by finding my book on Amazon, The Seven Queendoms, A Soul Map for Embodying Sacred Feminine Sovereignty. And that book is a deep exploration of what it means to move out of these adaptive behaviors and into your own personal queen. And I've broken it down into seven categories of sovereignty: spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, energetic, sexual sovereignty, and then your dharma or your purpose in the world. And so that's a really good place to start. You can also visit me at remobenario.com, and I've got several programs that I offer that you can find there, as well as lots of fun things to look at. My annual program will get started in January of this year. So enrollment's going on all through December. That's for the woman who's really, really ready to make a lasting change in her life and willing to come into a circle that can make a safe and sacred place for you to do this deep work.
So talk to us about your free gift, because that looks intriguing to me too.
Yeah, that's another fantastic place to start. This is 2.5 hours of teaching time that's available to you for free. It's normally $279. And so in it, you'll get, as I said, a 1 hour program on understanding how to become the source of your own safety. And in that class, I will take you through the adverse childhood experiences, or ACEs, assessment, so you can understand your own trauma score. Mm-hmm. And then I will also take you through a resiliency tool so that you can discover your resiliency score as well, because we're not just made up of traumas. We also have our resilient powers inside of us. And then how you can use those to help yourself deal with the challenges that come up in life. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, very often our struggles happen inside of relationships. So this course, this series really will help you figure out how you can create more relationship harmony. The second video in there is all about some powerful communication tools to do conscious communication so that you're not continuing to make messes. Mm-hmm. The third video is an hour-long inquiry into how we study and move through the cycle of reconciliation. There are actually steps you can take when rupture happens between you and your loved ones that can help you come into a deeper connection. And most of the time we shortchange that. We just hang out in the first couple of steps and we never get really deeply reconnected. And this process helps you understand how to get all the way through to the point of actually being able to negotiate for the unmet needs that caused the problem in the first place, so that you can come really, truly back into relationship harmony. And then the final video is all about the 6 blocks to receiving and what it is that we do that keeps us from actually receiving the help that we need in order to slow down, and the love that we desire, and the money that we'd like to have. You know, all the ways that we are out of integrity with the feminine principle of receiving. So all that's available in this powerful online series.
That is powerful, jam-packed with goodies, just like this talk has been, Rima. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing all your wisdom. And hopefully all of us are going to gather on the backs of our dragons and fly together as we heal the planet. Thank you for sharing with us today, Rima. It's been delightful, as always.
My pleasure. I love that image, Kathy, of all of us empresses on top of our dragons, partnering with the power within us, and making the world, remaking the world in a way that works for all.